Yeah, I feel the same. You know, just going to approach it like any other game. You know, obviously there's a lot on the line going to the Super Bowl and everything like that, but got to approach it the same way and got to treat every game the same way and throughout the week be the same guy and prepare the same way you have. You know, I think I rely on a lot of the successes I've had and understand that, you know, I didn't do that on accident. It's part of my process and part of what I do routinely.
I think the weather doesn't make any difference in how these fans are going to come out this weekend, honestly. I mean, I know the stadium's going to be rocking, and I know these fans are going to enjoy this as much as we are, trying to go out there and win the AFC and bring that Lamar Hunt trophy back.
You guys are three-point underdogs going into this game. It's the first time the Patriots have been an underdog with you at quarterback in 3 or 4 years now. Just how does that feel, being the underdog going into this one?
Doesn't change much for us, but it just, you know, shows you kind of what, you know, people would think about, you know, what our chances are. That's about it.
Those are the quarterbacks in advance of Championship Sunday, the best weekend of the year in the NFL. Good morning. It's Mad Radio on a Football Friday. Mike, Seth, and Paul with you. I want to dive right in. I'm looking forward to these games. What is on the line for all four of these teams and what could happen really this weekend, and not just this weekend, but the next, let's see, 2.5 weeks, if these teams actually are able to, if you look at each one, win the next two games.
First, I want to give a shout out to Patrick Mahomes' voice for just bringing me joy at 6 a.m. I mean, Patrick Mahomes.
It stands out so much.
Thank you so much for sounding like Kermit the Frog, having a baby with Ed Orgeron. It really brings me a lot of joy.
We're going to have to get used to that voice for the next, basically, I don't know, 12.
Face of the NFL, the voice of the NFL.
Yeah, just as RG3 was the future of the NFL 10 years ago. And it, nobody this guy ever planned him. No, this is the real deal, rookie of the year. No stopping this, quote Seth Payne. And
this guy's the real deal.
Is he then?
This guy's the real deal.
We'll see how he does. We'll see how he does after look. He didn't. He wasn't all that accurate after his knee got banged up in the last week.
He was not great last week.
And I mean, their offense was, and they got out to that early lead. They've outscored their opponents by 100 points in the first quarter this season. But we'll see. I just pump the brakes on this. How often do we have to go through this? Rookie or second year quarterback having
forever.
An incredible year to where like, and then all of
forever.
A sudden, no, you don't understand. He's the real, like, nobody will ever be
yeah,
like
you
this
fogey.
Again.
what you miss, Seth, is Andy Reid has been a really good coach for a long time, for 20 years.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid has worked with some guys who have been pretty good quarterbacks. McNabb was a good quarterback, despite what those Yahoos in Philly say. Alex Smith was a pretty decent quarterback, even though his upside was limited. But Andy Reid has been waiting decades for Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, okay.
He has been waiting
for a second there,
decades.
I thought you were going to give Andy Reid credit for Alex Smith, like, and ignore your hero Jim Harbaugh. So, okay, well, I'll credit you that he hasn't had a talent quite like Pat Mahomes.
This is what he has been waiting for. This is his white whale.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is his white whale.
Are you supposed to kill the white whale?
Yeah, you got to murder it.
So well, he's going to eat Pat Mahomes at some point and turn his lard into candle oil.
Right.
It didn't really. I guess the analogy didn't fully work.
You can go to Bed Bath & Beyond and get a Pat Mahomes candle, non-toxic.
What happens if all these teams win the Super Bowl? Obviously, all of them won't. But if you go like one by one, Kansas City, if this team wins the Super Bowl, to me, I went through all four teams, like what the predominant storylines would be. If the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, I think the focus would be on the combination of Andy Reid finally getting one, and then Pat Mahomes establishing himself as like the guy among the young quarterbacks in the NFL, especially since while Wentz was on the team that won last year, he obviously didn't play in the postseason. Mm-hmm.
I think for Reid, it's just huge that he wins this one, because we've seen him struggle in conference championships before early on in his time with Philadelphia, and I do think that there is a somewhat unfair but somewhat deserved moniker on Andy Reid that he just can't get it done. And this is an opportunity. I mean, you're at home. The home teams in conference championships have won the last 10 conference championships. If you don't get it done here, people are going to add this as another strike against Andy Reid, who I think is one of the best coaches that we've seen in the last 15 or 20 years. The problem is, you got no titles, and people are always going to hold that against you. And 10, 15, 20 years from now, are people going to remember him all that much if he isn't able to get one Super Bowl? I don't know. I would venture to say likely no.
It would be kind of similar to me to Coughlin winning his first Super Bowl. I mean, maybe not in the exact style because he doesn't have that kind of juggernaut in front of him. Mm-hmm. But sort of a Coughlin, maybe a Tony Dungy winning his Super Bowl with Indianapolis, where everybody agrees the guy is a good coach.
Yeah.
Everyone, that's the conventional wisdom. But he hasn't won that really. He hasn't won the Super Bowl.
So he hasn't won the Super Bowl with Coughlin. Coughlin hadn't been a head coach for nearly as long as Andy Reid had.
Yes.
Where Andy Reid has been a head coach for so long and came so close, at least in terms of getting to the NFC Championship so many times, and then the one Super Bowl, and then he had a quarterback that was vomiting in the huddle. That was a problem. I don't see, like, Pat Mahomes doesn't appear to be a vomiting type. He's not, like, the moment's not going to be too big for him.
He hasn't at all this season.
I don't, like, if I'm going to stack Tyreek Hill up next to Terrell Owens, if we're looking at Super Bowl teams that Andy Reid has coached, I don't, like, on a personal level, I don't have a clue. I'm not going to compare those two. On the field level, Tyreek Hill is owned the Patriots. Like, he's just absolutely crushed the Patriots.
Yep.
So, the Patriots, I guess that's my big question in this game. How are the Patriots different right this moment than they were in a previous matchups versus Tyreek Hill? I'm not so sure they are. They've made improvements on defense, but they just flat out don't have the answer to the speed that Kansas City has.
I don't think anyone in the league does. They're better playing man now, which was a problem for them, especially earlier in the year, and you got to give their corners a lot of credit. I mean, Stephon Gilmore had that gaffe against the Chargers last week where he allowed him to get Keenan Allen a wide open touchdown, and now J.C. Jackson, this kid that is undrafted, they bring in, and they've somehow turned him into a pretty good corner.
He's
but
well.
Still, I mean, does it even matter if those guys are playing well? Because Tyreek Hill's faster than all of them, and I think the real question from a on-the-field standpoint, not from a what we're talking about after the game standpoint, is the New England pass rush that really gave Phillip Rivers fits on this past Sunday, is that actually something we're going to see again? Because if we don't see it again, Patrick Mahomes is going to find Tyreek Hill for a couple of big plays.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, the storylines will be, I mean, the Pats will have tied the Steelers for most Super Bowls won of any franchise. And the amazing part is that they will have done it in such a condensed time window. Whoa. Where some of these teams have won with different quarterbacks, they've won in totally different eras, like the Green Bay Packers, and you know, maybe the 49ers, well, certainly the Cowboys, obviously, and the Pats will have done it basically in a 19-year window of time, which is insane.
And they went 10 years without winning one. It's almost more impressive. It's the same coach and quarterback.
Yeah.
But they sandwiched like a period of relative disappointment.
4 years.
Given how good they were. They won a bunch. They didn't win for a decade. They won a bunch more.
Yes.
Hypothetically, if this is how it happens.
That would be very impressive because it would be 3 and 4 years and then basically 3 and 4 years again, right?
Yeah.
God, that's crazy.
And I guess
3 and 5 years, I think, this time.
Well, maybe remembered, like, if we go 30, 40 years from now and the NFL historians look back on it, I suppose the Patriots run would be more impressive because it's in the era of free agency.
Yeah.
The Steelers did it. I mean, sure, the Steelers and the Patriots will both have had their cheating scandals and suspicions because the Steelers, a lot of NFL players believe, were among the first to start using steroids in the 70s when it got. Like, there was a 10 or 15 year period in the NFL where offensive linemen had veiny muscular forearms and it was just all hands. It was ridiculous. There was no testing. It was stupid. And the Steelers took advantage of that perhaps before anybody else did. The Patriots obviously have had to be more creative in their cheating efforts, skirting the rules efforts, or at least
loopholes,
gamesmanship.
They
had to be more creative in their gamesmanship. Well, except they just used the plain old, the old fashioned PEDs in the case of Julian Edelman.
But this is true.
Yeah.
And Rodney Harrison.
They're
machines.
So, and then obviously, you know, Brady would basically continue to run up the score with his various accomplishments in his illustrious NFL career.
This is what I'm wondering about this game. And it's curious to me, because we asked this question. I feel like a fraud myself for not bringing this up last week. Because we asked the question, okay, how come the Texans couldn't get a pass rush while the Chiefs could versus versus the Colts?
Yes.
And the Chiefs did lead the league in sacks in the regular season.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people, forget.
I was thinking about this week, and not that I feel bad about it, but I think so much of that is the way the game goes.
Because they've had healthy leads.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Texans-Colts game, and not only the playoff game, but also, like, I've kept ranting about, or at least complaining about, or bringing up the issue of Watt and Clowney in the last two Indy games. The Texans trailed for basically both of those games the whole time. That's a big deal.
It's like the old school Colts, where the Colts would have the same thing happen. Yeah. They had the great offense, and they had the pass rushers that were necessary to get it done. Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. I mean, you have those two guys coming after your quarterback when you have a 2-score lead and you're trying to catch up in a league where it was a little bit more difficult, I think, to get back in a game given some of the rules that were not in place to help out wide receivers. Yeah, it was perfect. They had it set up perfect. I don't like Bill Polian, but I'll give him a lot of credit for figuring out like that's a pretty good approach to go about things. The problem was they kept on running into New England a couple of in big-time games and losing.
And in that game last week, too, because the Chiefs did the same old thing. They got out to a huge lead up front. But I don't think that tells the whole story because it's not like Frank Reich panicked completely or anything. The Colts ran like 20 plays in that entire first half. You know,
their offense needs weapons.
Been that much, yeah.
They don't have enough weapons, and I still go back to last week, and I think that of all the things I would learn in a Chiefs Colts game is that the Colts were just giant disappointments in that one. I think that they really played poorly, and I don't know how much to make of Kansas City's performance because Mahomes has not been necessarily dominant of late, and I also don't know if what we saw from Damian Williams in that game where he looked really, really good, but yeah. I think that might have been a reflection on Indy's defense not wanting to tackle. And
they that was a soft-ass performance.
It really was.
You know, and obviously they took it to the Texans the week before. I'll give them full credit for that. I was disappointed. For the pride of the AFC South, I was disappointed in how they just showed up and looked like a soft-ass football team.
Yes.
That didn't want to tackle. You're exactly right, Paul. If they looked like they didn't want to tackle, they're watching their linebackers in secondary on those first couple of drives were kind of just sitting there watching guys run past them with no eagerness for contact. It was weird. They looked like a dome team.
Is that a function of them not being ready for that kind of game, facing that kind of team off a bye on the road?
I think, honestly, what happened with part of it is you just see that speed and especially the backfield action and everything they have going on in front of you, and it gives guys kind of a deer in the headlights effect where they're not able to adjust to the speed of that game. They just played the Texans.
So you hesitate.
The Texans are lacking in team speed, like functionally at the end of the season with the injuries and whatnot. And then all of a sudden you face this. It's like watching something at 1.5 times speed when you watch this Chiefs offense. It's ridiculous. Everything's blurry out there. It's like they're skipping frames on the screen. It's crazy.
Let's say the Saints win the Super Bowl. I think this is probably the least sexy of all four possibilities as far as the storylines of what people will be saying. I would say this. The Saints for a long time were considered this like really bad franchise and all that kind of stuff. If they win a Super Bowl again, they would, to me... I don't know how much people care about this. They would vault themselves above the level of the bad franchises in the NFL because they would have had an all-time quarterback, a great head coach, and they would have had, you know, basically 10 to 12 years of playing at a really high level. And then you look at Breeze and his legacy. He would have won 2 Super Bowls, which would tie him with John Elway. Not that he's necessarily as great as John Elway, but just putting it out there. You know, Sean Payton would go into the Hall of Fame as well, I'm sure, having won 2 Super Bowls. I'm guessing that would be the case
right.
as well.
He would be in that weird range where he's a Hall of Fame caliber, and then it's a matter of, okay, well, what two Super Bowl winning head coaches are in and who aren't, because I mean Tom Flores won 2 and he's not in there.
Yes.
I mean that is something you have to keep in mind. Say and for Drew Brees as well, I mean he would rise up slightly more. And unfortunately for Drew Brees, I mean Eli Manning has more Super Bowl titles than Drew Brees. Mm. And some idiots are going to say, oh well, that means he's much more of a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback.
You cannot
because
trust
of
those
that.
People.
Right. I know you can't trust him, but there are people that are like that.
I think there are people that'll argue for Eli to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but is there anybody like even Giants fans that actually think but Andy yes, he's better than...
There's enough.
I don't think so.
There's enough that need to be killed, euthanized.
Rams, and let's not forget the fans, because when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams, the Los Angeles fan base spent how many long decades of basically, you know, trying really hard not to yawn when the subject of the NFL coming back to LA was brought up. And they acted like, sure, why not? Even when, I don't know if that might be too exuberant of a description. And the long kind of didn't care Los Angeles fan base got their team back. And now after a long, long wait with their current team being back in LA, they might actually win a Super Bowl.
So there you go.
Good,
long
good
suffering.
Job, LA. Everybody loves LA.
They're long suffering.
For me, the big storyline is, will anyone care if they win a Super Bowl?
Like in Los